The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
It has been a very big week in the NFL with the 2012 draft underway. Three big quarterbacks headlining this year's draft. Of course, they've been talked about. Stanford's Andrew Luck, Baylor's Heisman Trophy winner Robert Griffin III, and Texas A&M's Ryan Tannehill. And our go-to player that always provides the player capsules and team-by-team report is our very own Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And he knows exactly what this week is all about because he was a first-round draft pick in the 1998 NFL draft. Of course, played 4 years with the Carolina Panthers. Jason, it's great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Jason, I just mentioned three quarterbacks that are seeking to make an impact in their rookie seasons, just like, you know, the sensation Cam Newton did with your former NFL team with the Carolina Panthers. All the guys mentioned, I mean, they are a tremendous talent. They're big-time quarterbacks. But who do you believe will be that franchise transformer?
Yeah, it's hard to say. When we had this same conversation a year ago, I was one of the not critics of Cam Newton, but one of, I guess, the skeptics who thought he would probably take 3-4 years before he was finally comfortable in an NFL system. And I think you have to not only tip your cap to Cam Newton, but also to Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers staff, because I think they did something different than what a lot of teams have done in the past, and that is we have our system as an offensive team, and this is our new guy, our new quarterback that's going to come in, and he's going to run this system. And I think what you saw Carolina do was build a system around Cam Newton, and they said this is what he does well, and let's build this offense around him for now. Eventually, maybe in 3-4 years, we'll get to that point where we are kind of fulfilling our vision in terms of what we want to do offensively. But for right now, and for the option that gives this team the best chance at winning, that's tailoring an offense around the quarterback. And I think you'll probably see some more teams follow in that pattern. Obviously, with the success that Cam Newton had down there, I mean, he broke pretty much every rookie quarterback record that's out there. I think you'll probably see something similar, maybe more so with Robert Griffin, just because he, I think, probably fits that mold of Cam Newton a little bit better than Andrew Luck. And maybe I'm overstating or undermining Andrew Luck's athletic ability, because He's an athlete. I mean, I think he ran 4.6 at the combine. During the season last year, there were times where the Stanford coach that took over for Harbaugh had him out running patterns, catching balls during games. So he's an athlete, and you could take advantage of that as well if you're an NFL team. But I think both of them will be successful in the long run.
You know, it's interesting, Jason. NFL analyst Chris Collinsworth, he brings up a great point. He said, you know, the big arm guys, they're not always the answer. And it really made me think about our conversation a year ago with Cam Newton when the NFL 2011 draft was going on, because how quickly can these guys process the information now? And Andrew Luck, I mean, he's a sharp guy, and so is Robert Griffin III.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, is how well they grasp things. Because even if you are tailor-mating an offense around the guy, it's not a college offense. The playbook is quadrupled in size and the amount of plays that you have to run. And that's something, as an NFL team, with all the preparation that goes in during the week, especially from the defensive side of things, looking at offenses, you can't go into a game with 4 plays. You got to have variety. You got to be able to run something that maybe you ran in week one, but now you're in week 10, and all 11 guys have to be on the same page, and you might not have practiced it for the past 9 weeks, but you got to be ready to go. And like you said, I mean, Andrew Luck, obviously a very, very smart kid, and Robert Griffin as well. But it's just a matter of how they develop. I think there's always that stage, whether you're going from high school to college or from college to the NFL. You're stepping up another level, and that is an unknown as to how a guy will continue to develop. Is he healthy? Does he stay healthy? Do one of these guys have a nicked up throwing shoulder that maybe isn't kind of released to the press, but it's something that he's been dealing with all year? You just never know the intangibles, the little things that kind of come into play when you're an NFL player. And you know, but a maturity as well, I think that's huge now, because these guys are bona fide stars. Whether they like it or not, whether they've played a down or not, you know, with the access that fans have to these players now with the Twitter accounts and Facebook and everything else, these guys are stars. And that's a huge, I think, obstacle that kids have to deal with nowadays, and you find out really how mature some of these guys are as they transition into the league.
The 2012 NFL Draft coverage continues this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Also, check out our guest, jasonpeter.com, his website. He's got some great things going on. He also has his annual celebrity golf tournament that's going to be coming up in the month of September. You don't want to miss that. And Jason, it is interesting. I have to ask you this because, you know, you're a defensive guy. We're, you know, focusing right now on the quarterbacks, but when you arrived with the Carolina Panthers, how overwhelming was it when you received that playbook? I mean, you're talking about the different plays that you got to learn each and every week, but how much time did you spend studying?
Yeah, well, in my case, I ended up in a contract holdout, so I missed the entire training camp, which is difficult.
Because then you're always trying to catch up.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, when I signed, I think 6 days before the first regular season game, and as soon as I signed my contract, I was down there, and I pretty much lived at the stadium. Guys would go home after practice, and I would get showered up. I'd eat, and I'd go upstairs, and I'd spend the next 7-8 hours. Up in the defensive line's meeting room, meeting with the coach, and just going over play after play and my responsibilities, and just trying to get me ready to play. I mean, to go back to, I guess, bringing up that maturity question, I didn't have it. I thought I did. I thought I was. I was raised, I guess, with enough common sense to know the difference between right and wrong. And maybe I did know the difference between right or wrong, but I just thought that I could get away with some stuff. And my transition into the NFL wasn't smooth. It wasn't as I guess, expected it. And certain things happened. It was kind of a domino effect when you start to get injured and then you get a little depressed. And then it's, you know, you're away from home and everybody's kind of a stranger to you. You don't trust anybody. And then you kind of hibernate a little bit. And so there is a domino effect. I think that's why it's important for these kids today to surround themselves with good people and to have some sort of balance in their life, so that if an injury does happen, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, I mean, when I signed that contract, it was kind of no holds barred, full steam ahead, trying to get me ready for that first game, and I did. I mean, I ended up playing in that first game, and I think by the fourth game of the season, they had inserted me into the starting lineup.
Well, obviously, I mean, you fit in very well, but how long did it take for you to get comfortable? Was it by that fourth game?
I'll tell you, I don't know if I ever was really comfortable my first year. Things are just happening so fast, and if you miss time, It's not, well, okay, now so-and-so, now Jason Peters back, and he's healthy and he's playing. Let's rewind the clock, and we have to start back over to get him back up to speed. It's a train that's going full speed, and ultimately, if you've missed time, when you are back with the team and you are trying to get ready, that's on you. You're now a professional. You're being paid. It's your responsibility to get caught back up. And it was difficult, to say the least. But, you know, for me it was transitioning not only to a new team, a new city, but it was a new defense as well. I played in a 4-3 defense my whole life, and now we were running an odd front, a 50 defense type, and I was playing defensive end, and it was a defense that's catered or built towards protecting the linebackers and kind of letting them run free. So, you know, here I was 275, 280 pounds, even though they had me listed at about 300 pounds, and I'm trying to hold two offensive linemen on the line of scrimmage so that the linebackers can run free, and my shoulders are coming out of the sockets, and just stuff, you know, that happens as being part of an NFL player. You don't complain about it. You just kind of roll with the punches and you keep on going.
You want to contend for an NFL championship and win, you've got to have a great quarterback. But as a defensive guy, do you believe that these quarterbacks are being drafted way too high and that they are unproven?
I do. I
mean, specifically, I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill. When I look at what statistically he did in the Big 12 this year, I mean, he threw 15 interceptions.
I mean, I've been a pretty big skeptic of Tannehill. I don't know how, I guess, all of this fascination has just out of nowhere arrived on his doorstep. To me, I do think that there are some kids that are late bloomers. I don't know if that's where he kind of falls in line. Obviously, there was a point where Mike Sherman didn't think he was the best guy to be the starting quarterback. But at some point, I think when Gerard Johnson, I think his name was, he either was so bad or he was hurt that I think they made the transition then to Tannehill, who was playing receiver, and he has things going for him in that he played both receiver and quarterback. So he understands, at least in, I think, the pass game, where receivers should be, the type of routes that they should be running, the moves that they make from running a seven route to a drag to hooks to, I mean, you name it, he understands that type of stuff. So that kind of communication and knowledge is invaluable. But I just think in terms of being that leader, that guy who can win football games, especially big football games, because there were times in A&M season last year where they played some big games and he just did not show up at all. And that's the thing that has to be concerning. So I think for NFL teams, they're all looking for their next franchise quarterback, the face of the franchise, the Tom Brady, the Drew Brees, the Peyton Mannings, the Eli Mannings. They want that guy. So I think NFL teams naturally put too much value into these college quarterbacks that are coming out because they all want to have that guy. And I also think that they also don't want to get that guy by, I guess, via kind of the Patriots getting Tom Brady in the sixth round. I think they want to make sure they get that guy. So naturally, they put more value into the quarterbacks, and ultimately end up drafting them too high instead of maybe where they should have been drafted. I mean, nobody could have foreseen what was going to happen with Tom Brady. I mean, getting drafted in the sixth round, there's a reason that he had gotten drafted in the sixth round. Everybody was wrong on him, but at that point, I think he was probably being slotted in the right spot. It's just something, like I said, you just never know how a guy is going to transition. I mean, you know, he was fortunate. He had a great team franchise around him in New England, and it wasn't all just kind of on him. which is a different situation than a lot of guys who get picked high. If you get picked in those first 5, 10, 15 picks, usually it's a team that has a losing record. So you're going into a situation where maybe there hasn't been much success, and now that's more expectation, I think, that's on your shoulders. So for him, it all worked out, but for Tannehill, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
And, of course, Ryan Tannehill, as you said, just to kind of back up and support what you're talking about, Jason, I mean, 12-7. 12-7 last year as Texas A&M's quarterback, and as I had mentioned, you know, tossed 15 interceptions. Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We're going to transition now. Hey, we're going to talk about defense, and I know Nebraska has got some promising guys that have been a part of this draft. Share a little bit with us on that.
The guy that I like the most is Levante David. He was a junior college transfer a couple of years ago, and all he did for the 2 years that he played out here was make plays. Whether he knew the system, the first year he was here, he was just kind of running around making plays just off his athleticism. The thing I think that NFL teams are looking at, and he's probably figuring to be anywhere between a second and fourth round pick. You never know. All you need is one team to really like you, and there you have it. I mean, you're a high second round pick. But at the same time, you know, there might be a team that has a player that they thought maybe would have been taken by now, falls into their lap, and it just changes everything. I mean, the draft is an entire it's a domino game for the next 3-4 days, but Levante David has he's a playmaker, bottom line.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. He is doing a great job breaking it all down. The 2012 NFL draft, our coverage continues, and another guy from Nebraska, Jason, of course, is Jared Crick.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure how he will transition to the NFL. He's a big guy, but not a big lower body. He's kind of got these real thin legs. He doesn't have any rear end, and you kind of need that lower leverage.
That's a prerequisite.
Yeah,
you got to have that.
As a defensive lineman, you need a little junk in your trunk, and he doesn't have much, but you know, I think when you watch him over the years, he was banged up this past year for Nebraska. He had a torn pectoral muscle, so he missed most of the season. But, you know, things change when you get with the NFL and that's your job, and you don't have to worry about going to class anymore, and now you can dedicate more time to nutrition, and you can dedicate more time to working out, and these are things that you know, is the makeup of being an NFL player, and you don't have any of those other types of distractions. You'll have other distractions, but those things I think free up a lot of your time to focus more on your craft. But you know, Jared Crick, the best year he had was his sophomore year when he played next to Ndamukong Suh, and there was a lot of people that felt a lot of the statistics and the plays that he made were because he was the guy who was getting single blocked or maybe even not blocked at all at times, because there was so much focus on Suh that Crick was kind of left there to make the play. I think he's a good football player, but I'm not someone who is ready to say he'll play for 10, 12 years. He could be a guy that is out after 2 years, or he could be a guy that ends up playing for 8-9 years. But I think somebody will probably get a solid backup, at least coming right out of the draft.
We hit on Levante David and, of course, Jared Crick, but another guy from Nebraska, Alfonso Dennard.
Yeah, not the sharpest knife in the drawer here.
He's a physical player.
You know, he was a preseason All-American, and I'm not sure. I think he was first-team All-Big Conference, but never made the All-American teams, the first team. And didn't, I guess, impress too much at the combine, and he had some issues at the end of the season last year in the bowl game. He decided he wanted to duke it out with the wide receiver from South Carolina, Jeffries, and so he was kicked out of that game. And then last week, and this is the craziest thing, I just don't understand, a week before the draft, he decides he's going to get into a fight outside a Lincoln bar and is scrapping with a guy, and a police officer tries to break it up, and he decides, well, what do you do when a cop breaks up your fight? Is you punch the cop in the face. So he ends up punching the cop in the face, and ultimately it took about four cops, I think, to finally get him settled down. But he's a player that I think if you can kind of put him up on the line of scrimmage and let him be physical, I think he can have some success, but I don't know how well he'll do in open space with flipping his hips and being able to turn and run and cover some of these receivers. You know, these are some of the best athletes in the world, and he's a little stiff. But again, without the distractions of, you know, being locked up in jail and schoolwork, you know, focusing more on his craft, maybe he'll have some success down the road.
Well, Jason, how will this affect him in terms of, you know, how teams will view him?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of teams that just back away from him and say that there's just too much evidence there, and that is something I think that most teams look for nowadays, is they want good character type guys. Now, obviously, if there's an athlete that's just exceptional, I think they can always you know, kind of look past it. But I think overall they want guys, especially guys that they're going to pay some good money to, because they want to make sure that these guys are mature enough to make good decisions. And it's a dangerous concoction, I think, when you're talking about young, immature kids with a lot of money. I speak from experience, and I just think now with the microscope that these kids are under, it's not even the reporter that, oh, maybe we'll run into if we go here or there. Now it's Joe Schmo with the camera phone. Everybody's a reporter. Everybody's looking to take the guys down kind of off the pedestal. You know, everybody wants to knock the guy down. And you know, that's not just with him. I mean, this obviously was brought on by himself. But I think lots of times there are guys that are just trying to have some fun or blow off some steam, and you know, when it gets cut down to a 15-second video, I don't care who you are, you can look bad. This definitely cost Alfonso some money.
Well, perhaps he wants to go spend some time with Meta World Peace, right?
Oh, isn't that? I mean, what a guy. I mean, geez, how do you, this guy, it's a comical that he actually has the word peace in his name. I mean, what if this guy was called like Stone Cold Thug? I mean, how would that would he just be throwing haymakers out there, or
incredible.
Is that kind of the old Ron who runs up into the stands to beat fans up? I mean, this guy he's a piece of work. I'll tell you what. I mean, I thought the suspension was a little light. I thought he should have been done for the rest of the year, but I'm just an old washed-up football player, not a basketball player.
Well, it's just hard to believe in what 2004. He served an 86-game suspension, and the fact that reinstated and he's still out there, but he'll have to sit out for 7 games. So we'll see how that affects the playoffs. But Jason Peter has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Actually, we have time for just one more question. Talk to us a little bit about, as far as the BCS, the Final Four. This will be something that we'll be looking forward to talking to in the weeks to come. I think this is a big opportunity for, you know, future kids and the opportunity to play a part of a, you know, championship system, right?
Yeah. Obviously, nothing comes without controversy, and I think there'll be a lot of teams that are excited. I think the kids will be excited, but I think the problems lie in that, well, if they take the top four teams and they kind of do that plus one model, well, what happens to number five when, or number six, when they have the same record as number four, but during the regular season, they maybe beat number two or number three, and number four didn't beat anybody, but they're number four. I mean, I can see the problems right now, and I think you have to realize that no matter what formula they come up with, there's always going to be people out there that say it's not fair. And I think they're still working the kinks out, but it looks like as early as maybe 2014, they could be doing something that is considered, I guess, a playoff. I think eventually down the road they'll probably go to more maybe an 8 or a 16 team type playoff, but it's a start, I think, with four. I think they'll be able to kind of keep the majority of the bowl games intact so that they don't lose their prestige, or more importantly, the money is still being there for these schools to put into their bank accounts. Because ultimately, that's the thing that's the most important to these schools, is that they're still making money. And if this was a formula where there was a chance that schools would lose out on money and the bowls and everybody else in college football would lose money, this thing wouldn't even be being talked about. But obviously they have something where they feel like more money can be made, and I think it will be good for college.
The great Jason Peter has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Of course, it'll be fun next week because everything will be solidified and taken care of in regards to the 2012 draft, and we'll be able to kind of do a recap where everybody fit into their new teams. So we look forward to that. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Bob Berry Jr. here with us in just a moment.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight.
Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson.
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum.
And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.